I'm an addict. I'm Stuart.
Hey, Stuart.
And my thoughts on this topic, spiritual, not religious, take me to a lot of places. And where I want to focus on is the positive thoughts that I can come up with on this. I need to tell you that when I first got clean, my first thoughts when I would see a topic like this were, oh no, here we go again. Somebody's going to try and tell me how to be. Someone's going to try and control who and what I am. And that's from my experience, and I want to share with you a little bit of my experience. I was raised in an Orthodox Jewish family and was... I don't want to use the word forced, because I don't believe that's the spirit in which my family wanted to teach me. My family, my parents, I should say, were raised in that religion, and it served them well, and they wanted to pass on to me what worked for them. And for whatever reason, I didn't like it. And I grew up, I was a couple years shy of a child of the 60s. I was born in 1957, and I was ahead of my time. And in the 60s, in the Vietnam era, I was already getting high, and I started getting high at 11, and I was a real idealistic kid, and I was very smart, and I couldn't understand about a God when there was all this crazy stuff going on in the world. And I couldn't understand about religion because I was forced to go someplace where they didn't even speak English. And I didn't know what was going on there, and I didn't feel what was going on there. And that's an extremely important statement that I'll come back to later. So when I got clean, after struggling with being raised in an Orthodox Jewish family and then going through all of the things I went through, and then trying to find myself and traveling across the country and having run-ins with the Hare Krishnas and, you know, every different religious sect and every different cult that there was, I came in here with the perception that this was going to be another cult, another one of these things. And when I would go into meetings and people would say the word God, I would cringe, my stomach would turn, my palms would sweat, and I'd get angry and want to leave the meeting because my experience was not good with that stuff. And my experience is that there is something that was going on here, and when I made it into my first meeting, and I say that because I went to meetings and couldn't get out of my truck and couldn't go into the room, and when I made it into the first meeting, there was something that had me come back to the second one. And I didn't know what that was. You know, I always asked my sponsor for a lot of years when I was going through things in recovery, how will I know, you know, if it's right? And he would always give me that great answer. He says, well, in retrospect, you'll know. And I was like, yeah, fuck you. And now I can look back on how that was when I got clean, and I know that there was a spirit that touched me when I came into the meeting that first time, and that spirit allowed me to have hope, and that hope allowed me to come back to the next meeting. When I got clean, my sponsor told me that I needed to surrender. Surrender to what? You know, he told me I needed to surrender to Narcotics Anonymous and that I needed to give this thing a try, and that if I tried this thing, 100% and didn't like the outcome, then I could leave. And when I looked at that and we talked more, that meant that if I was going to surrender to this thing, that I was going to trust in the process and I was going to believe in the literature. And the literature tells us plain and simple, you know, about what this program is. You know, it's a simple program. It's spiritual, not religious, and it's called Narcotics Anonymous. Yet, I couldn't conceive, I couldn't feel that this was not all that shit that I had in me for all those years. So it took me a lot of struggling. And what those struggles were was, that was a process of me coming up with something that was foreign to me. See, if I say the word Jesus Christ, a picture comes up, okay? If I say Jewish, we think of something. If I say Catholic, you know, there's a certain church, there's a pope, there's whatever. You know, it's in a little box. It all fits nice and neat, you know? And I already have, if you tell me your religion, I already have a preconceived notion of you, you know? Higher power of my choice, there's no box. You don't know what that is. You don't know who I am. You need to meet me. You need to touch me. You need to feel me. You need to find out. And that attracted me, you know. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to say maybe, you know. When in use and everything was black and white, you know. It was this way or it was that way. It was my way or it wasn't. You know, that's what it really was. And my sponsor said, you need to say maybe. You know, and for me that meant I had to say, well, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but maybe I better try, because I couldn't even just say maybe. You know? And what I began to do, I didn't begin to trust in the process, and I didn't begin to pray until my back was up against the wall again. You know, until I was desperate again. I came into Narcotics Anonymous out of desperation. Pure desperation. That's it. We had a line in the basic text when it first came out, and it talked about the desperation of loneliness, and that was removed in the second edition, in the third edition. The desperation of loneliness is what brought me to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, no matter how many people were around me, no matter who I knew, no matter what was there, I was desperately alone within myself, and I couldn't stand how I felt. And that was, that same desperation is what allowed me to change. Because at each point of desperation, I came to a point where I needed to try something new, or else I was going to use. You know, and I knew what was going to happen there. So, there came a point where, you know, it was bad. And people were saying, well, you need to pray. You know, and I'm like, pray? You know, I don't know nothing about prayer. You know, like I told you, I was raised in a religion where they prayed in another language. I didn't understand what any of it meant. I memorized them. I could go into the services. I could participate on a verbal level, but I had no clue what I was doing. And I had no clue how to do this. And what I did was I started trying to pray. And I laid in my bed at night, and I looked up, there was a light hanging right over my bed, and people say, you know, if you pray to a light bulb, you're nuts, it might burn out, and then where's your God? Well, I didn't say it had to be on or off, okay? That's just where I was focusing, you know? And I prayed to the light bulb, and I asked to help me stay clean. Now, when I came in to Narcotics Anonymous in the spring of 1982, and I got clean in December of 1982. And between the spring of 82 and when I got clean, never once did I ask for help. Okay, not once. So when I was laying in the bed and I was looking at the light and I was saying, I don't know if any of this is real. I don't know if there's anything out there that can hear me. I don't know if this is nothing but bullshit, but help me stay clean. And then at the end of the night, I would say the same thing. Look, I feel like a fool. I don't know if anything is listening. I don't know if this is total bullshit, but thank you. And I was doing that every day. And my sponsor said to me somewhere down the line, he says, "How's the prayer thing going?" And I said, "You know, bullshit." He says, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm laying in my bed and I'm looking at the light and I'm saying, look, you know, I don't know if you're out there, but, you know, help me stay clean." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "And at the end of the night, I'm laying in the bed and I'm like, you know, I don't know if you're there, but thanks." He says, "Yeah. Why is it bullshit?" I said, "Because it's fucking bullshit. There's nothing there." He said, "Have you used?" I said, "Well, no." And I began to believe. You know, I still didn't know what, but I was believing. And the process of believing is an incredible process. You know, belief is just one of the most powerful things there is. You know, if you just believe that you'll be okay, your whole attitude changes. You know, and I began to learn about the power of belief. You know, the 12th step talks about having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Okay, if my spirit is going to wake, it's going to wake up, you know, it's got to be a spiritual program. You know, I've had lots of experiences that have led me to know the difference between spiritual and religious. The one when I just shared about coming into my first meeting and coming back to the next one, Etty shared today, and I got to remember. You want to talk about spiritual, okay? In 1984, I got the opportunity to leave this country. I got the opportunity. I don't share this often. I got the opportunity to go to another country to study. And it was a country that had no Narcotics Anonymous. It didn't exist. It had Alcoholics Anonymous. I had, at the time, I guess I had almost 2 years clean when I was in school, and my teacher said, "We're passing in the hallway, okay, at the end of the semester in December. We're passing in the hallway," and he says, "How would you like to go to Israel and do an internship?" And as I passed him, I said, "Sure." Like, who wouldn't? Not like, "Yeah, I'm going." Like, sure. Who wouldn't? And 3 weeks later, I was on a plane. On January 1st, 1984, I flew to Israel, and I went to live. And when I was there, I went for some time without a meeting because I was living on a kibbutz, which is a commune, and I had no transportation at the time, and I didn't know the language, and I couldn't get around on my own, and I was learning and getting settled. And once I got settled, I guess about a month after I had been there, and when I left, I took enough literature to start 20 meetings. I had so much goddamn literature with me. I don't know what I was doing, but I was going to be safe, okay? I had my white book, which I carried in my back pocket every day. I had a basic text. They had just come out. And, you know, and I was on my way. So I finally decided I'm going to try and find this meeting in this town not far from where I live. Okay, and it was a Wednesday, and there was an AA meeting there were three sections of this town on a mountain, the bottom, the middle, and the top, and the meeting was in the middle section. And I didn't know where it was, and I didn't know where I was going, and I called a cab, and I said, "This is where I need to go." And he takes me to this section, and it's raining out, it's cold, and I get out of the cab thinking I'm in the right place. And I don't speak the language. You know, I can say a few words, but I don't speak the language. And I start walking around looking for this meeting. So it was me and one other guy, a guy who was in class with me who thought he might have a problem. So he came with me to keep me company. And we're walking around and we're knocking on doors and we're, you know, we're just nowhere. And after about 25 minutes, I'm done. This is it. We're going back. Call another cab. We're out of here. And we knocked on one more door, and the guy answered the door, and he spoke English. And it was the meeting. And they took us in, and they gave us towels, and they dried us off because we were like wet rats. And they changed the meeting from Hebrew to English for us. They all spoke English, except for, I think, one who someone was able to translate for. And they changed the meeting from Hebrew to English for us. Now, I need to tell you, when I first got in there and I walked in there, they were not speaking English, okay? Yet I felt at home. The Spirit had touched me. The Spirit of recovery had touched me. I couldn't even understand what they were saying, and I knew it was okay. I knew. I was calm all of a sudden. I was no longer, you know, hyped up and bent out of shape. We're lost. We're wet. We're cold. You know, I got a cup of coffee. I had a towel, you know. And if they never spoke another word of English, I was fine. You know, I have so many examples of the Spirit of this program. You know, as we work the steps, we begin to learn what spiritual principles are. I may have known some, but I didn't have any in my heart because they didn't serve me. Spiritual principles on the street don't serve us. Okay? Self-centered principles serve us. You know, you get in my way, fuck you. Okay? That serves me. Open the door, here, let you in. No, that doesn't serve me. You know, kindness didn't serve me. Patience didn't serve me. You know, tolerance didn't serve me. Love had no place, you know. You know, in the first step I found out about surrender, and I found out in the process of that about trust. You know, I trusted in my sponsor who said, you need to do this, you know. You know, I told you about the family I grew up in. You know, in the third step where it says that we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand them. I grew up in my father is a man who, when I was growing up, if we sat down to dinner and the synagogue called because they needed a certain number of people to pray, and he had just gotten home and dinner was on the table and we're sitting down, Dad was up, he was gone. And as a kid, I didn't understand that. You know, I didn't understand the commitment that went with, you know, my father's commitment to his religious beliefs and his commitment to the people that he prayed with. I didn't understand anything about that selflessness. So my mind said, what the hell's he doing? You know, my father reads the obituaries. I thought that was really gruesome, you know. And whenever he came across a name of someone that he remotely knew, whether it was from 30 years ago or 30 days ago, my father went and showed up at these things to be supportive. I didn't understand anything about that. In the third step, when it talks about turning our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him, that means that I'm going to accept the guidance of this power greater than myself. Well, if I need to understand what that guidance is. You know, I hear, and I was told all I needed to know was that I wasn't it. Well, At first, that was all I needed to know, okay? And there came a time when I needed to know more. I needed to know what the guidance was going to be so that when my God was telling me that I needed to have empathy, that I would be able to hear that. Because I couldn't hear it if I didn't know that my God was empathetic. I couldn't hear that I needed to have patience if I didn't know that my God was patient. You know, I couldn't hear about tolerance if I didn't know that my God was tolerant. And when I looked at all that stuff, the third step was really cool because I found out that my father was the man I wanted to be. And I tore him apart for years, belittled him, took his inventory, and basically just never understood him until I worked the steps and began to get some of the spiritual principles in this program. As a result of working steps and having spiritual principles in this program, some things happened with my family. My father, on every religious holiday, would call me up and say, "Are you going to show up at the synagogue?" And I would say, "No, Dad, I don't think so." You know? And that hurt him for a lot of years. And as a result of being in Narcotics Anonymous and working the steps, as a result of me finding out who my father was and accepting him for who he was, my father and my mother learned to accept me for who I was. They learned to allow me to have a God of my own understanding. They learned that their God serves them well and doesn't have to be mine. And they accept me like that today. They accept me that I don't show up. I show up for, now don't get me wrong, I show up for the holidays. I participate in my family functions. But we don't have the same beliefs. One of the most important things that I read in here that helps me with the fact that this is a spiritual, not religious program is how often we've seen people taken out of here on religious zeal. If religion is a part of your life, that's great. Whatever religion it is, if it enhances your life, that's great. If it enhances your program, that's wonderful. However, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous are what lead us to the awakening of the spirit to allow us to make the decision on whether or not we have this God, that God, no God. And the freedom of choice, the spiritual principles that allow me to have my God and allow you to have your God, and none of them are in a box, and none of them are the same, and none of them make a difference, are the principles that allow me to truly understand when we read in the very beginning readings. We don't care who you are, we don't care what color you are, we don't care your race, your creed, your religious background. We don't care anything about any of that stuff. All we care about is what your problem is and what you want to do about it. And then the most important part about that is, how can we help? How can we help? The steps are a path to a spiritual service, spiritual in nature, and it's about gaining these principles so that we can give them to those that come behind us. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Vince, and I'm done.
Let's speak of Vince.
Good evening, family. My name is Vincent. I'm an addict.
Hey, Vincent.
And I truly want to take this time to thank God and you people, because without you, there'd be no me. Also, I want to thank the committee for inviting me and really wanting to take a risk, because I'm somebody to say anything, anywhere. You know. Let me say, if you're new in this process, for me, relapse has not been a requirement. If I don't use, I'll celebrate 13 years this year. Yeah. So I got a lot of evidence. You know, I was listening to Stuart, right, and I'll be glad I'm not going to just... Oh. It'll be that calm. But I know I'm heading that way because y'all probably don't realize it, but when I first came in here, I had these strange habits of like, you know, I'd be like doing all kinds of strange, I couldn't focus, you know, I'm here to share my experience, the topic of spiritual, not religious, is very, very important to me. Because what the literature says, I need to talk about the program. I've never found anything that has been more helpful to me than Narcotics Anonymous. Of all the gifts that I have received since I've been on this journey, nothing has enabled me not to make my life, it's not a real word, worser as a result of these steps. I say worser because, as I recall, no matter how good I felt, if I took a hit, shit got worser. You know, I mean, like, I would delude myself because of this thing called the disease of addiction. You know, the steps are so important. And, like, I used to always say, and let me share, listen to me. If you don't get nothing else out of our convention, listen to me, family. If you just don't use, listen to me. If you just don't put that mess in you, I guarantee you, your life will get better. I don't know about anybody else, but a hit don't do too much other than make shit worser. So I have to keep reminding myself because I've been receiving so many gifts from this process of recovery that I got to remember how it was. Being homeless, hopeless, unable to even, like, find somebody to tell another lie to. Y'all probably know what I'm talking about. And I ran out of everybody. I even had a hard time talking to myself and shit, because I started a conversation, and then my shit say, fuck you. I said, what you talking about, fuck me, man? You know, I have all these learning disabilities, and one of the primary ones is I don't like nobody to tell me nothing. So when I came in here, I had a lot of trouble. You know what I'm saying? First couple of months, I used to say, my name is Vincent. You know, I said, man, you sure you ain't an addict? My name is Vincent. You know, I mean, like, because for real, I didn't want to stop using. I just wanted some relief. If that same person keep on telling you about this shit, you say, well, like, you know, leave him alone. Well, now I don't want to get out of a relationship. I just want some relief. Well, that's where we were with this program, right? But it's one thing deep. See, I need more than to just stop using. I got to work this program in all my affairs. Because it's a spiritual journey, not a religious zeal. Let me see if I can understand this for me. I have seen people stand in front of the bench after they're getting busted and judge say, 5 to 15, if you ever come back, they straighten up. Going, never using shit again. I know people who just stop getting high, period. I mean, they may still go to the door, might knock with their 357, but they ain't using nothing. But see, what I need, listen to me, family. See, what I need is a personality change. See, the literature says, let me put it this way. Here's this guy, right? He was like ironing his clothes and shit, you know, getting ready, looking at the videos, you know, he was grooving, you know, getting down and stuff, man. He put the iron down, the phone ring, right? So he reach over, man, and try to get the phone and pick up the iron and shit, say, hello? You know, he just burnt the whole side of his head off, you know. So next day he go to work, he got these two big, large-ass patches on the side of his face, man. And his co-worker said, damn, what happened, man? He said, man, I was just like, you know, I was trying to press my shirt for work. And I was looking at the video and everything, and the phone rang, and I went to pick it up and said hello, and she just burned me. And I said, damn, you stupid. He said, well, what happened on the other side? He said, well, the guy called back. What I'm trying to say is, if I keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over, I need a personality change. And see, it was so deep in the 10th step, right? That's why this program, see, the steps have me to go in a direction I need to go. When I think of my religion, if they have a set of rules that I got to apply to the outside. See, certain things, it's real, real narrow. If I don't say this or that, if I don't do this and that, well, then I'm not being religious. But my thing has nothing to do with the outside. My thing has to do with the inside. But see, sometimes I would know that I shouldn't do something. But yet I can get a feeling. And I can call my sponsor running down. He say, no. Well, I can call somebody who really cares about me. Say, man, if I would try this, I get all that. But I can get a feeling and do it anyway. I mean, it's something about my insides, man, that I got to change. I need a personality change. That's why I just love these steps, because they're so beautiful. These steps in my own mind have made me very, very successful. But it's traditions with other spiritual principles that's made me significant. See, that's what I need to be. I need to be significant with Vincent. Because, see, none of you can ever do to me what I've done to myself. I don't know why I want to be the first one in line to make my life worse. But I always did, dressed up and shit, talking shit, getting ready to fuck myself up. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about here. But it's just this program, right? And we're so deep that it just says, our disease, right, the center of it has been compulsive and obsessive. And if we don't apply these spiritual principles, it will resurface in other areas, and you will back yourself up in a corner and you can't come out clean. It doesn't say that you won't or you may not. It says you cannot. You cannot. I've seen a lot of people here with a lot of time in my 13 years around here. And yet, with all that time, they end up going out with a hype in their arm. Why? Ain't nothing changing this thing. Nothing, but yet, this disease that we got, I've come to know that the only thing it wants to do is to kill me.
That's right.
But it will settle for me being miserable. And then when it's through with me, it'll ask for a volunteer to take me out, and I'll raise both hands and say, shit, what's after that? You know, I am going through so much right now. I've been blessed with all kinds of things. I was a high school dropout. I just was accepted in a doctoral program in South Africa. I got 2 master's degrees. I got a lot of skills. I got some certificates on my wall. But nothing has helped me more than the self-help program of Narcotics Anonymous. I want you to understand this thing. This is beyond a gift, because what it enables me to do, family, is focus on the thinking process to measure how I impact my world. See, me being spiritual is being awake. See, I have to be conscious of not just what I do, but what I don't do when I should have done it. See, I have to be conscious of not holding myself hostage to a resentment. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm saying I have to learn how to put my humility before my honor in some cases. See, you can do something to me, you know you wrong, I know you wrong, I'm really right. Matter of fact, I've always been right, except for one time that I knew I was wrong. I just want to be a motherfucker. But what I'm saying is, sometimes just for the day, I got to step back and say, it's not my hit. It's not about me. And so even though I know I'm free, 21, and some more stuff, well, if you know that it's spiritually incorrect, Vincent, be awake. Knowing that you shouldn't call in your work slick. Knowing that you're only really told partial of the truth. Knowing that you're still hoarding your blessing. It's almost like, you know, I call this thing the donut theory, right? The hole in the donut. I recall, right, trying to make myself feel better. And like, I might get a new outfit, put that shit on. That shit feel good. Did somebody see it twice? You know, I mess around, say, well, shit, give me a, you know, new car. Mm-hmm. You know, all good. Them notes start coming every month. That shit don't feel that good. Yeah. Or get that new relationship. Hidden. about 5 or 6 months, and it's like, you know, what the fuck am I doing now, you know? And in other words, I always try to put something in the inside, you know what I mean, to fill a hole. But then this process said, well, look, maybe that hole isn't a hole, but a vessel. And see, it's like the car fuel line. Well, if it gets clogged up, the ride is rumpy, bumpy, you know what I mean? It can even stop if it gets too clogged. So I learned to look at it a little different and say, well, if I can keep it open and not try to control or manipulate the outcome of things, then maybe things can happen through me instead of to me. And see, that's what I like about these spiritual principles, because it's an inside thing. And see, the thing about, no matter how much I think I know, I can never, ever, 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 ever do this thing by myself. See, that's why am I here? See, I got to keep coming back, family, because I need a personality change. I don't know why I'm an addict. I hate being an addict. But I thank God that you all helped me to realize that I know that I'm one. You understand what I'm saying? I know people may have stopped you and started drinking and cool today. But you all said, man, for some of us, come on now. You're talking about an abandonment issue. The biggest abandonment issue I ever had in my life is the one I gave myself. And I'm still trying to get me back. See, they brought me and said, well, look, man, you got to come to church. They even ordained me. Let me let it out. But you know what? I said, how do you expect me to know him if I don't know me? How can I tell you I love you when I don't know how I love? I don't know if I make it any sense. But the steps afford me some strategies, you know what I mean? Some style to go in there and get honest, physically, and accept the fact that you're that way. You know you're that way. And you'll be that way again if the opportunity presents itself. Why? Because of self-centered fear. Fear I might lose something. But now you talk, somebody knew what I was talking about. It's something about having a need, family. A need to grow spiritually. I don't care what church anybody go to. I don't even care about life after death. My problems with life before I die.
Talk about
it. I'm just saying it's very, very important to me to recognize that I can't help nobody but me. Maybe if I can be open long enough to take the suggestions. See, the most I can ever see, family, is my side. That's the only half of any situation. If everything is working, I ain't got no issues. But see, if you're like me, matter of fact, you can look at that person next to you. I mean, just look at them, look around. Look all nice and shit. These people are fucked up in here. You know, I gotta remind myself, you know, I'm all mad because you let me down, you ain't this. I thought you was all that. Well, shit, I ain't this and I wasn't all that. Why you do this and why you do that? Because I'm the same way. I mean, you know, the person's gossiping, man. I can't stand people gossiping in the meeting, man, talking about people. I said, what the fuck are you telling me for? You gossiping now. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. I'm saying, hocus pocus, Vince, I got to keep the focus. Because it's an inside job no matter what. And that's what I like about being spiritual. When you all treat me spiritually, you give me options. You allow me to make the choice. It's like the relationship. You know, step two, my first higher power was pain. Some of us are still stuck on step two. You could be here 15 years and end up with 1 year 15 times without ever relapsing. I'm talking about not growing. I'm talking about you like this guy we're in a meeting, man. He keeps talking about his wife, man, left with me, he'd be all right. I mean, about 9 months he's talking about this shit. Damn, I'm trying some tolerance, you know what I'm saying? I said, brother, when did you leave? He did 15 years ago. I said, damn. Move on. God has done for me what I was unable to even recognize that I needed to do for myself. That's why I have to learn how to trust a power greater than me. And I choose it not to be pain. You know, for me, the definition between pain and misery is pain, since it's part of life. But misery is just a pain I won't let go of. Why? Knowing I shouldn't go over there. Knowing you even told me not to come.
When anyway.
He said, look, don't go because we're going to be doing A, B, and C. All right? I used to get some bright ideas and shit. Woo! Even when I take a hit, I used to get the bright idea. Yeah, that shit'll work. You know. Hey, Sharif, come get me out. I'm on 61st Street joint. They got me locked down, man. Mother better set me up again and shit. You know? I don't know, fam. This is, I don't know about anybody else, but one thing about this program is that I have to live it religiously. And for me, it's an attitude. It's more than just a dogma. It's because I had this illness. It's an illness. It's non-curable. I've seen so many of my friends, including loved ones, who stopped practicing this program, stopped using for a while, but then died and was later on buried. I just got back from South Africa last Sunday, and I was blessed, got a little business over there and everything. And so my plane thing's all messed up, everything's late. When you go to Europe or out of the country, everything is crazy. Missed a connection and shit. I try to be cool. I got patience today. So I catch the train. They want me to buy a ticket for $3. I say, yeah, I'm with the train. You know, down 50 cent on the A train, shoot down the Union Station, you know, Penn Station, catch the train, come on through. I call home, say, look, pick me up. They say, well, call your brother. What do you mean, call my brother? Call Momar. I said, right, now beat me. Call Momar, I got my little cell phone, I called myself, my sister-in-law answered the phone, she says, come and get your brother. Your namesake, Vincent, just got killed. My brother lost his oldest son. I said, your brother's in the basement, man, he won't even come out, right? I said, well, now I've been up, man. I mean, my flight was 18 hours nonstop, okay? So then, I go home, change clothes, wife, go out. And then I'm told, listen, Juwan's your daughter. She just lost a baby 2 days after Vincent got killed. Man. It's all right. I'm trying to be cool now. And I'm talking about this now because I'm going, I haven't slowed down yet. So I hit my messages while I'm driving up the highway to Philly, and I'm hitting my messages, and my daughter's on and says, Dad, call me, please. Three people in our family just died. See, nobody couldn't reach me when I was in Africa. I said, three. So I called, she said, yeah. She said, our cousin, who's getting married in 2 weeks, drives an 18-wheeler, and he was driving. This lady ran to the back and got a car stuck and started smoking. And flames started coming out, so he got out to help her, and another motorist came around and killed both of them. I had three people die in my family in 8 days. I still have yet. But see, the good news is that I know that a religious institution can't help me. The only thing that helps me is my experience from learning how to go through things without using. See, that's the hit. I'm going to hurt. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to have my mood swings. But thank God for God, because here's the good news on this spiritual journey called a higher power. I know on this day, see, I'm in protective custody. You understand what I'm saying? I don't get confused about this kind of thing. I know I got a relief valve. I know somebody who sits high and looks low. People talking about go in your quiet place and talk to your God. Well, when my God met me, I was in the gutter in the crack house. It wasn't nothing quiet in that joint, man. I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't going to give him a name. All I'm going to say is that don't let me down now, because regardless of all this, I'm just waiting for an opportunity to do something. Because I'm human. I'm not bad. No, I can't be everything you want me to be all the time. But I'm human. Quit judging me.
I ain't got no answers for you. I ain't gonna answer for me. But I know, practicing spiritual principles, I don't need to make nothing in our life worser. There was a time when I showed up, shit got worse for people. Y'all probably don't know what I'm talking about. Shit, come on, let's keep this thing real. This program in closing, family, has been so good to me. I ain't know this thing is gonna rise any higher. Damn.
This lady was laying in a lily field, gazing up at the heavens. And as she looked into the clouds, all these tears start coming down her face. And she said, God, she started thinking about all the shame and guilt and pain she caused her loved ones, her children, and her family. She said, God, please forgive me. At that time, a cloud descended down from the heavens. And on this cloud was a little angel child who beckoned her upon the cloud. She stepped up on that cloud and ascended back up to the heavens and arrived at this beautiful place, man. It was jamming, big house, all colors of people, the music was right and stuff like that. And she felt, man, they were there waiting on her because they presented her with this beautiful gold book. It was white leather with this beautiful gold rose on it. She got back upon the cloud and descended back down to the lily field. And she was just so excited and so overjoyed that she forgot to open it. But what she did was she noticed right away that this book only had one page. And it simply read, there is nothing to forgive. Take all of your experiences and then help someone because you've been blessed. My name is Benson Nominati.
We have 5 more minutes. Anybody would like to come up and share? Vincent, give it up then.
Circle up and close with the just for today.
Just for today.
Close it up, circle up. Close it up with light too.
Yeah, let's close it up.
Let's link up. Do a surrender prayer.
Did we read just for today yet?
Somebody need to read it.
I got it right here. Slide down, honey, so you can read it. Okay, I'll switch places with you.
I'm Janet Nominati. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today. God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back.
It works if you work.
Wait, what's happening, man?
What do you do?
What do you just... 3 more people.
without a doubt.
Hey, what's happening? Hey.